الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. I think this is a message maybe from Sister Beck. Okay. Vicky, her daughter is sick, and she will take her to the doctor. Okay, I will answer her later. Rahman al-Rahim. So the most important hadith regarding the topic of sincerity is the hadith where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all actions are judged by intentions, and each person will be rewarded according to his intention. Thus, he whose migration was to Allah and his messenger, his migration is for Allah and his messenger. But he whose migration was for a wife he might marry, his migration is to that for which he migrated. We need sisters to know the meaning of this hadith, so that inshallah we will be very clear regarding our intentions and how our intentions are behind our reward. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified in this hadith the importance of the purity of intention. What is the purity of intention? The purity of intention is that for every deed and for everything, I must have an intention. And I must remember this fact. Because by time, we always forget about the intention. Before you leave home, you must have an intention. Before you sleep, you must have an intention. Before you eat, you must have an intention. Before you talk, you must have an intention. For every deed and for everything, there must be an intention. And your intention must be purely for the sake of Allah. This means to obey Allah, to please Allah, and to receive the reward only from Allah. This is the purity of intention, this is the sincerity, and this means that all your deeds and things will be rewarded from Allah, and all your day will be counted for you as an act of worship to Allah, the Almighty. And actually, this is the life of the winners. Okay? It is all related to the intention. Regarding this hadith, at one stage of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ordered or commanded all the Muslims to migrate from Mecca to Medina. In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave an example of two types of people regarding their migration. The first one, he was the person who migrated to Medina purely for the sake of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, obeying the command of Allah. And that person will receive his reward in the fullest, complete. Okay, the other person is a person who already migrated. Okay, he migrated from Mecca to Medina. But his intention was not to obey the command of Allah for migration, but it was for a woman. That woman, she already migrated. And he was in love with that woman, so he migrated for the sake of the woman, not for the sake of obeying the command of Allah. Accordingly, he migrated for the sake of the woman, and he will marry that he married that woman. So he got what he intended for. His action was for the woman, and he married the woman, so he will never be rewarded by Allah, because he already received his reward, okay, in this worldly life from a human being whom he cared for, whom he intended the migration for. And this is the importance of the intention again, sisters. For example, if you take care of your family, okay, you must have the intention that I am taking care of my family, I am taking care of my parents, I am taking care of the kids, I am taking care of the Quran, whatever care I am giving in this life, I must have a clear intention in my spirit between me and Allah only. I am not in need to clarify my intention to any human being, just between me and Allah, that, oh Allah, I am doing, I am having this intention for your sake. Okay? Otherwise, if you are taking care of your family, or of your parents, or of the kids, or of anything, for the sake of a worldly benefit, you will receive that worldly benefit, and you will never receive a reward from Allah, so you will lose the reward from Allah. In this worldly life, we are all looking for the reward from Allah for the good deeds, because the good deeds are our way to the paradise. So according to your intention, you will be the one to know, I will be rewarded from Allah, or I want the reward just in this worldly life, and I will not receive any reward from Allah. Now we will learn about another hadith which will clarify to us more and more about the importance of the purity of intention, that is to say sincerity. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first person to be judged on the day of judgment is a man who acquired knowledge and taught that knowledge and recited the Quran. That man will be brought forward to Allah, and Allah will make him to recount the blessings. And he will do. Okay, he will recount Allah's blessings. Then Allah will ask him, what did you do for these blessings? The man will say, I acquired knowledge and I taught it, I recited the Quran for your sake. Allah will say, you are lying. You acquired the knowledge, so people will call you a learned man, and you recited the Quran, so that the people will call you a good reciter of the Quran. Indeed, they called you these things. Then he will be dragged on his face until he is cast into hell. Okay, I will clarify to you the meaning, but after we will continue the rest of the hadith. Another one is a man whom Allah enriched him with all manner of wealth. He will be brought to Allah, and Allah will make him to recount Allah's blessings. And he will do so. Then Allah will ask him, what did you do for these blessings? He will say, I spent the money for your sake on every cause in which you wish money to be spent. Allah will say, you are lying. You spend the money so that the people will call you generous, and indeed they called you generous. Then he will be dragged on his face until he is cast into the hell. So actually, sisters, this knowledge is very important for every one of us. Why? Because in this hadith, Allah is clarifying for us the importance of the pure intention. Allah only accepts deeds plus good intention. If there is no pure intention, deeds plus sincerity. Without sincerity, deeds are not accepted. Actually, in this hadith, Allah is mentioning the best two deeds, good deeds in this worldly life. To have the knowledge, to teach the knowledge, and to learn the Quran, to recite the Quran, to teach the people the Quran. This is one of the best deeds in this worldly life. The other one is to spend for the sake of Allah. In every cause, this is excellent. Those people whom they are building the mosques, whom they are building the schools, whom they are helping the poor, whom they are helping the needy and the orphaned, these are the excellent people whom every one of us is respecting and expecting that their final destination is paradise, 100%, we are sure. Okay? Unfortunately, those are the first people to be judged by Allah, not at the end, at the beginning. Okay? And as it is clear for every one of us, sister, that Allah is telling them on the day of judgment, you are lying. And actually, this is very difficult for those whom they are under the impression that on the day of judgment, we will be the first one to be sent to the paradise. Unfortunately, you are the first one to be sent to the hellfire. Why? I didn't spend the money for the worldly issues. I spent the money for the sake of Allah. But what was your intention? Another example. For example, if I am, I hope, inshallah, I am not that person. Okay, living with the Quran, learning the Quran, teaching the Quran, having the knowledge for the sake of Allah, driving to that place for years and the years, then I will be the first one, inshallah, not to be thrown in the hellfire. So why I didn't enjoy my worldly life? Okay. Under any circumstances, it is the hell. Okay. This is the question. You see how Allah is very critical with the intention. Subhanallah, this is very important knowledge for everyone who is under the impression that if I do deeds from outward, from outside, I just show the people, okay, that I am a good person. And actually, sister, why Allah is sending those people, especially those people whom they did very good deeds, you know, to the paradise, the first ones? Why? Because they misuse the good deeds. Because if you recite the Holy Quran, you will be sure that this worldly life is a test. So if I live with the Holy Quran with sincerity, I will never look for someone to say about me a good reciter or a good scholar or a generous person, because I don't care for the human beings. I only care for Allah, because I learned the Holy Quran. I learned the message of the Quran. So instead of believing in the message of the Quran, I misused the message of the Quran. And I used it for the sake of the human being. This is totally opposite the message of the Quran. The message of the Quran is that you must do all the deeds for the sake of Allah. Forget about the human beings. But that person, okay, he did the opposite. He cared for the human beings to say about him or about her, she is the best, she is the rightest person, she is the scholar, she is the one to be respected. And already the people did. So she received, or he received, the reward in this worldly life. So you will never receive anything from Allah. And because you misuse the good deeds, they are the first ones to be thrown in the hellfire, that one who taught the Quran and the other one who is spending for the sake of Allah. So in spite of the good nature of their deeds, okay, but the insincerity in their intention made them to be to have the punishment of Allah, okay, instead of Allah's reward. So this is very important for every one of us to have the pure sincerity in all your deeds, except regarding the good deeds, the acts of worship. You must have the sincere intention only to Allah. I want to learn the Holy Quran, okay, for the sake of Allah. I want to know the message. I want to know the way of my life. And I don't care if the people know this about me or not at all. And actually, I prefer that they will not know anything about me, especially in these good deeds. I don't want anyone to know. I want to receive the whole reward, complete reward from Allah. I don't want any reward from human beings in this worldly life, which is short and not permanent. Okay, so this is about the sincerity. Now we will learn about calling on Allah as an act of sincerity. Okay, and why we choose to learn about sincerity in calling on Allah. Why especially in calling on Allah and dua? Because dua is an inspiring gift that our Lord has given us. It is a way for His believers to communicate with Him directly, to express their fear, need and hope. To turn only to Allah, because we know that the only one who can help us to get rid of our worry, sadness, is only Allah. And actually, when you call on Allah, you feel relieved that I gave all, or I move all my feelings regarding worry, upset, loneliness. I moved these feelings to Allah. Now I don't have these feelings. I am relieved. I am in a better shape. I have hope. I can live my life in a better shape and do my responsibilities in a better shape. Why? Because I get rid of these troubling feelings. I get rid of them and actually I remove them from my shoulders. I am free now to live a better life. So dua and calling on Allah is a gift from Allah. We must all the time, sisters, evaluate calling on Allah correctly, because Allah is not in need of any one of us to call Him on Him. Allah is not in need of anyone. Actually, we always must believe that Allah is everything, has everything, owns everything, controls everything. So Allah is not in need of anyone. So why Allah is commanding us to call on Him? For our sake. Okay, so all the time we must evaluate calling on Allah as an inspiring gift from Allah, and all the time be thankful to Allah when He helps us to call on Him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also, there is a very important rule regarding calling on Allah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim dua. In every difficulty, our first action is dua and our last action is dua. Why dua is calling on Allah? I will use the word Arabic dua. Clear dua? Okay. How dua is the first action and dua is the last action? When we have any difficulty, number one, we ask Allah to show us the way to handle that difficulty. Okay, what can I do now? Oh Allah, show me the way to do, to show me the way to handle it. I don't know. So this is number one, calling on Allah, okay, at the beginning. Then you call on Allah to help you to make that way easy for you. Because maybe the way to get rid of that trouble is to try to sacrifice all your rights, okay, with your husband. Forget about yourself. You must keep silent. You must not say anything. You must control yourself. You must be patient. So to do all of this, I need, you know, the help of Allah. So I will call on Allah, okay, to make that way easy for me. Then number three, I will call on Allah to support me to make our efforts successful. Because, so number three, we must seek Allah's help to make our efforts successful. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that, alhamdulillah, I am patient. Alhamdulillah, I am trying to sacrifice. Alhamdulillah, I am trying my best. But I am not sure this all my efforts will be successful or not. So I will call on Allah to make all my efforts successful. So at the beginning and at the end, okay, we need to call on Allah all the time during our difficulty. We must know, sister, that dua is the heart of the worship. So when someone will ask you, what is the heart of worship in Islam? The answer is dua, calling on Allah. Why? Because calling on Allah affirms our belief in Allah's oneness. It affirms our belief that the only power is the power of Allah. Accordingly, I am only calling on Him. Okay, why you are only calling on Allah? Why you didn't ask the help of the sister, the help of that person, the help of those people, the help of your brother? I am not asking the help of anyone. I am calling only on Allah because I believe that the only power in this life is the power of Allah, and Allah is in control of everything. Accordingly, dua is the practice of the belief in the unity of Allah. If you believe that Allah is the one, who has the only power, whose power is the only power, so you will only call on Allah the Almighty. Dua is the important way for the believer to change his fate while no action ever can. For example, if I am worried now that my daughter may not pass the test, I am worried. She is studying, but you know, the test looks, but the subject is very difficult. She's trying her best, but still she's not, you know, sure that she can pass the test. So what can I do? Okay, more than helping her to study as she can. The only way which she can help my daughter to pass the test is doing dua to Allah with sincerity. This is the only way. There is no other way at all to help her, okay, to pass the test. The only way is to do dua to Allah. Also, dua is the way to give me and her the hope that inshallah there is a possibility to pass the test. For example, if she is studying and telling me, but I am not sure that I will pass the test, I will answer her, Allah the Almighty gave me all the ways to call on Him. My daughter, don't worry. Allah is helping us. Allah is giving us the sign that you will pass the test. Because I am calling on Him very easily. Allah make it easy for me to wake up at night and to call on Him. To, after Fajr prayers, to call on Him. All the time while I am driving, coming home, I am sitting, I am calling on Him. And whenever Allah makes dua easy for you, okay, this means that inshallah Allah will answer that dua. Okay, so I will support my daughter psychologically and I will support myself and I will have the hope that inshallah she will pass the test. When you have the hope, okay, this is part of success. Because so long she has the hope that she may pass the test, she will study more. She will never have the feeling of despair at all. She will never stop trying. So long you have the hope, you will keep on trying. How can I have the hope? I can have the hope when I feel that Allah is helping me to call on Him all the time, because there are people whom they can't call on Allah. When you tell her, sister, you have a problem, she will tell you, yes, my problem is very big. You tell her, sister, no problem, you have the way to Allah. Keep on calling Him. She will tell you, I can't call on Allah. It is very difficult for me. Okay, there are many people whom they have this answer. And actually, people are not able to call on Allah the Almighty because they are far away from Him. Okay, calling on Allah is a gift. He will not give it to everyone. He will give it to the hearts which is connected to Him, believing in His unity.
We made dua a lot, and it's not working. So, like, why we should go do dua? And they don't know that the dua is, the benefits could be either in this world or in the life after. Yes. So, and they don't know what's good for them. Allah knows best. But this is what I keep hearing. Okay, I'm not gonna dua. You know, I keep asking Allah, but nothing happens.
Yes. And actually, Ghada, this is what the question which Ghada just now mentioned, all that reality, we will answer it, okay, when we will learn about faith of our dua. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no Muslim makes a supplication in which there is no sin. A supplication in which there is no sin, except that Allah gives him by that one of three things. Okay, number one, he gave him what he asked immediately, answering the dua, number one. Number two, the second possibility for our dua is that Allah will save us from a calamity which is equivalent to the supplication he made. I will clarify to you this, inshallah, the meaning of hadith. Number three is that Allah saves that dua for him on the day of judgment, and he will be rewarded on it for the day of judgment. Okay, so you must believe that dua has a benefit in all conditions. The second you raise your hands to Allah, this means that you will receive a good thing from Allah. Number one possibility is that Allah will answer your supplication. Okay? Number two, if Allah doesn't answer your supplication, which you asked for specifically. For example, if I call on Allah for my daughter to pass the test, there is a possibility, number one, that inshallah she will pass the test. The second possibility is that maybe my daughter was about to have an accident. So Allah will save her from an accident, okay, which is a calamity equal to her, that she may pass the test. So she may not pass the test, but Allah will save her from an accident. And if you try to think it over, what is more important for a mother? That her daughter will be saved from an accident, or her daughter will pass the test, which she can pass it next year or after 3 years or forget about it. The most important is the safety of my daughter. Okay, so if Allah doesn't answer your dua, okay, as you are looking for, be sure that Allah, there is a possibility that Allah saved you from a calamity which is equal to what you are looking for. Number three is that there is a possibility that Allah will keep for you the reward on the Day of Judgment. And again, sister, there is a very important fact which every one of us must remember and mention it to those whom they are upset about Allah not answering their supplication. There is a man, it is a famous story, a known story from a righteous man. He was calling on Allah all the time, and mostly Allah was not answering his call. So on the Day of Judgment, he found a mountain of good deeds. Okay, so he asked, why I have all these good deeds? Okay, so he was answered that this is the reward of your dua, which was not answered in the worldly life. So he was very upset. And he said, oh Allah, I hope that you never answer for me any dua in this world. You see, sister, this is the reality of the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't regret any good deed with Allah. What is the problem if you call on Allah? What did you lose? The seconds and the minutes you live with Allah are seconds and minutes of mercy. Be sure, just to communicate whether your dua is answered or not, just the minutes and the seconds of communication with Allah, which are not for everyone. Allah will not communicate with everyone. Allah will not have, you know, the mercy with everyone, one-to-one relation. Those are very special people. When Allah is showering you with His mercy and helping you to call on Him and to feel that I am calling with, talking with Allah directly, I am telling to Him everything, I am relieved from all the problems, this is enough. Then what will happen later is not my problem. Because I believe in the power of Allah, I believe in the mercy of Allah, I believe in the knowledge of Allah. There is a verse of the Quran which can also help us to accept that our supplication is not answered. Okay, number one, that our supplication, inshallah, we will be rewarded for it on the Day of Judgment. This is for those whom they believe in the Day of Judgment. And we must believe in the Day of Judgment, otherwise we have a problem in our basic relation with Allah, which is the belief and the faith. But there is another verse of the Quran. Let us recite it together so that Ghada can give a lot of answers to most of the people. Surah number 17, verse number 62. Let us now recite from Surah number 17, Surah Al-Isra, number 11. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa yad'u al-insanu... Allah al-Azim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويدعو الإنسان بالشر دعاءه بالخير وكان الإنسان عجولا
And man supplicates for evil when angry as he supplicates for good and man is ever hasty.
So actually, sisters, for the meaning, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, of this verse of the Quran in the Arabic language, okay, it is mentioned that Allah, it's mentioned that man calls on Allah, okay, for evil, as he invokes on Allah for good, and man is ever hasty. This is the English translation, okay. For example, if he is angry with somebody, he invokes saying, oh Allah, curse him. And that one shouldn't do, but one should be patient, okay. This is when you call with a sin. Okay, when you call for a sin and Allah will not answer this call. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Okay, so actually this is one meaning of this verse of the Quran. But there is another meaning for this verse of the Quran is that, sister, sometimes, for example, if I call on Allah, oh Allah, I want to go back to Egypt. So, from my point of view, this is better for me. But Allah knows what is better for me. So Allah knows that going back to Egypt is not good for me, so Allah will not answer my call. Okay, so when I called on Allah, I called with something which is bad for me. Okay, but I don't know, because only Allah knows. So out of his mercy, he didn't answer my call. Okay, and this is the other meaning for this verse of the Quran, that we sometimes call on Allah asking him for things which will turn against us. Accordingly, and out of his knowledge and mercy, he will not answer our call. Okay, but we will be very upset because we are not true believers in reality. If we are true believers in Allah, and I kept on calling on Allah for something related to the future which I don't know anything about it, and Allah doesn't answer me, this is a sign from Allah that what you are calling for is not the good for you. Stop here. Okay, just accept what will happen. Okay, and be all the time grateful to Allah that Allah is the most merciful and He didn't answer you for that supplication, actually, which may be the cause for a lot of troubles in your life. But Allah is saying, but the human being is all the time not patient. Okay, no, I want to go. Why Allah is not answering? I must go. Allah is against me. Allah doesn't want me to be happy. What is this? You know, why Allah doesn't want you to be happy? Why Allah is against you? Why? For the sake of what? All the time, you know, sisters, we must question ourselves when life is going against what we like or what we want away in our life, and life is blocking what we are looking for. Be sure that if you keep on calling and you are not answered, there is something hidden. Okay, so accept the decree of Allah. So this is the fate of our dua. Now, inshallah, we will learn about dua as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And we will start by surah number 40, verse number 60.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ.
Number 60. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter hell, rendered contemptible.
So actually, sister, this is a command from Allah the Almighty, okay, to call on Him. So we must do dua to Allah. We are not supposed to stop dua or calling on Allah, because this means that we are not obeying the command of Allah. Also, in this verse of the Quran, there is a promise from Allah to answer our supplication, so long our supplication is good for us. Okay, so long, what I am calling, for example, oh Allah, I want my daughter to pass the test, inshallah, this is something good for her, inshallah, Allah will answer that supplication, or will prevent a calamity from her. Okay, but inshallah, Allah will answer it in a way which is good for us. Okay, so all the time remember the promise of Allah regarding our supplication, otherwise it is not good for us, and Allah stopped it out of His mercy. The second verse of the Quran regarding supplication is Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 186. Surah number 2, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 186. Bismillah ar-Rahman.
وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. صدق الله العظيم.
And when my servant, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and when my servant asks you, O Muhammad, concerning me, indeed I'm near, respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me by obedience and believe in me, that they may be rightly guided.
So actually, sisters, again in this verse of the Quran, Allah the Almighty is showing us His mercy, and He is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to clarify to every believer that Allah is close to every one of us. Okay, Allah is near to every one of us, and inshallah, Allah is answering our supplication when we call on Him. Okay, so we must obey Him and have faith in Him, so that inshallah we will be following the right path. So all the time send that message to your spirit. Allah is very close to me. Allah has the mercy on me. Allah is looking to answer my call. Allah is promising me that He will answer my dua. But I must follow the right path, inshaAllah, and I must be all the time, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, obeying His commands. So if you are looking for your supplication to be answered, okay, try to have a good relation with Allah the Almighty. Okay, for example, if I want Sister Daniel to be a close friend to me, I must treat her in a good way. I am not supposed to treat Sister Daniel in a very bad way, and then I will call on her, oh Sister Daniel, I need you to do 1, 2, 3 for me. Why she will do it for me? I was never good with her. I was never in a good relation with her. Okay, so there is no reason that she will be in a good relation with me, or she will help me or support me. This is must be also with Allah, who is showering us with all the blessings. If you want Him to answer your call, are you obeying His commands? Are you following the right path? Do you have the right relation with Him? This is the most important problem between the people or the Muslims and Allah. Mostly, we are not obeying His commands. And we remember Him suddenly during the trials. And then we start calling on Him with sincerity during the trials. So now only you know that you have a Lord. Now only you remember that Allah can do everything. Now only you turn to Him. Why? Do you think that Allah doesn't know your reality? You only remember Allah at the time of trials, and you forget Him during all the good times. How we can treat Allah this way? This is the question. If I believe that Allah is the all-powerful, Allah is the provider, Allah is the almighty, Allah is the one who can do everything, Allah is everything and all the power, I must fear Allah. And I must feel that I must have the good relation with Him all the time. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, try to be close to Allah during the time of during the good times, so that Allah will answer your call during the difficult times. Okay, but most of the human beings are having the opposite relation with Allah. They forget Allah completely when they have good times. And when there is the bad time, which must come in the worldly, must come in the worldly life, because the worldly life is the life of trials and hardships. Okay, at that moment they remember Allah, and they start calling on Him day and night. And if Allah will not answer them, they are very upset with Allah. What is the meaning of this? This means that you don't believe in Allah. You only remember Him at the time of need, and you use Allah. Then, when everything is all right, forget it. Okay? This is not the quality of the believers, and this is not the quality, okay, of the human being or the Muslim whom Allah answers his call. Allah is telling here, so, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let them obey me and believe in me. Let them obey me and believe in me. So, number one, sister, believe in Allah. Believe in Allah. When you will believe in Allah with sincerity, as we are learning, okay, you will feel that to communicate with Allah is all what I am looking for. To feel that Allah is close to me in every second of my life, actually is all what I am looking for. Now when Safiya is crying and upset and not happy, or feeling, you know, the feeling of sadness, who is the one who can shower her with His mercy? Who is only Allah? Only Allah, the only one who can makes her heart, okay, to move from the feeling of sadness to feeling of acceptance, okay, then the feeling of patience is only Allah the Almighty. Only Allah. If all of us will keep on telling her, Safiya, remember Allah, Safiya, be patient, Safiya, because the controller of the heart is Allah. Safiya cannot control her heart. None can control the hearts except Allah. So the only one who can move her hearts from the situation of or the feeling of depression, worry, upset, sadness is only Allah the Almighty. So I must keep my relation with Him all the time. And I must believe in Him. And I must obey His commands. Inshallah. Then, when it is the time of trials, it will be very easy to call on Him because I am calling on Him all the time. And I am communicating with Him all the time because I believe that there is none in this life except Allah, the Almighty. So, sisters, all the time you must remember this fact. Because most of the people, why I am clarifying this fact, you know, with details, because most of the human beings are under the impression that if I am not close to Allah now, no problem. When the time of trials will come, I will call on Him and inshallah He will answer me, so forget it now. What is this? Okay? Let us now read again from the Holy Quran about the verses of supplication from Surah number 27, verse number 62.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Is he not the best who responds to the desperate one when he calls upon him and removes evil and makes you inheritors of the earth? Is there a deity with Allah? Little do you remember.
You see, sister, this is exactly the meaning which we just mentioned. Okay? Who is the one who responds to the distressed one? Who is the one who listens to our call? Who is the one who answers our supplication? Who is the one who is showering us with His mercy? Who is the one who is giving us the hope and support and the blessings and everything in this life? Only Allah. But as Allah is mentioned, little is that you remember. We only remember Allah at the time of trials. Okay? So we must actually change our attitude and always remember Allah, because the minute and the second you communicate with Allah, you are the winner. We will recite also now from Surah number 72, Surah Al-Jinn, verse number 18, to know about the calling on Allah and its importance only to invoke only to Allah. Surah number 72, verse number 18.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa anna al-masajid lillah, fala tad'u ma'allahi ahada.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And He revealed that the masjids are for Allah, so do not invoke with Allah anyone.
So actually, sister, this is a clear command from Allah the Almighty, just to call on Allah. Don't call on anyone other than Allah. Allah clarified in the Holy Quran, so that on the Day of Judgment, when we will stand in front of Allah, Allah will question us about these verses of the Holy Quran, sisters, because this is the way of life for us as Muslims. If I am a Muslimah, inshallah, I must have a way of life. This is my way of life. Okay, so Allah on the Day of Judgment will question me. He will say to me, as He knows, and I don't know. So invoke not anyone along with Allah. Why you were invoking anyone with me? In spite of the fact that I gave you a clear command, don't invoke anyone, don't call on anyone. And actually, sister, these are the acts of the spirits. Okay, there are people whom they say by their tongue, I only call on Allah, I only need Allah. But in their hearts, they need the human beings. Okay, and Allah knows what is in the heart, and Allah knows what is our intention. I can tell you, sisters, you know, sisters, I only call on Allah, I only depend on Allah, I only have Allah. Okay, but in my heart, my intention, okay, is different. There are a human being whom He can do for us everything. I will call on Him, and I believe that that person can. This is the wrong issue with Allah. Can is only for Allah. Can is only for Allah. If that human being is having a command from Allah to help me, command from Allah, he will be able to help me out of the command and power of Allah. But if Allah doesn't send that message to that person is powerless, as all the human beings are powerless, because the only power is the power of Allah, so call only on Allah. Now we will learn...
Can you continue the other two ayahs?
Yes, you can continue.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأنه لما قام عبد الله يدعوه كادوا يكونون عليه لبدا قل إنما أدعو ربي ولا أشرك به أحدا قل إني لا أملك لكم ضرا ولا رشدا قل إني لن يجيرني من الله أحد ولن أجد من دونه ملتحدا
تدق الله So let us continue to learn about the fact that we must not invoke anyone except Allah. We will keep on reciting. We will recite from the same surah, surah number 72, from verse 19 to verse 22.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And that when the servant prophet of Allah stood up supplicating him, they almost became about him a compacted mass. Say, O Muhammad, I only invoke my Lord and do not associate with him anyone. Say, indeed, I do not possess for you the power of harm or right direction.
And there is another verse also. Say, O Muhammad, none can protect me from Allah's punishment, nor can I find refuge except in Him. So actually, sister, this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is commanded by Allah to say to everyone that Prophet Muhammad invoke only to Allah, calls only on Allah. And then Prophet Muhammad, the best human being ever created in this world, okay, he is commanded by Allah to say that I don't have any power to cause any harm or to bring you to the right path. And I can't punish anyone and I can't give refuge to anyone. So this means that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clarifying that he is powerless. If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is powerless, what about the rest of the human beings? Okay, this is how logically we can believe that the only power is the power of Allah. Accordingly, when we only call on Allah. Okay, now we will learn, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from the ahadith and the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the importance of dua. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is angry at whosoever doesn't ask of him. If you don't call on Allah, Allah will be angry with you. Why? Because He commanded us in many verses of the Quran to call on Him. So if you are not calling on Him, this means that you are not obeying Him, so Allah is angry with you. Number two, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves those who are persistent in their supplication. Keep on calling Allah, repeat your supplication, inshallah, Allah will answer you. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, supplication, dua is the pillar of the religion and the light of the heavens and the earth. This is to clarify the importance of the dua. Now we will learn the ways for answered supplications. Now inshallah I know how dua is very important and dua is a command from Allah and we must obey it, and whenever I raise my hands to Allah I will receive a blessings. So I want to call on Allah the right way. Okay, number one, to be sincere in your dua. Okay, this is the most important factor regarding accepting the supplication or answering the supplication, to be sincere. What is the meaning of being sincere? To cry your heart out, asking Allah with full trust for all the things which you are missing in your life. To ask Him to remove any problem for your life and to bless you with all what you are looking for. Okay? But to have that sincerity, number one, there are three factors. Number one, true belief that only Allah can solve the problem and makes the hopes real. And actually, sister, this is the most important. The true belief from the depth of your heart that none in this life, none can solve my problem and make my hopes real except Allah. None. I want my husband to be good with me, but my husband will not good with me if I tell him be good with me. He can't. Who can change my husband? Allah the Almighty. I must believe in this. I want my daughter, okay, to pray and to follow the commands of Allah. If I keep on telling her, be good, I will try. But who has the power to change my daughter in reality, to change her heart? One day in the morning, she will wake up and tell me, I am interested to know the depth of Islam. Teach me, please. So I will be wondering, how come? What happened? This is Allah. This is the answering of the dua. This is actually, sisters, how we must believe in the power of dua. And again, you know, sisters, when you believe from the depths of your heart that only Allah can save you, inshallah, Allah will save you, okay, even if there are no causes to help you to be saved, okay? And the more you are close to Allah, the more Allah will make you to live this situation, these events in your life. And alhamdulillah, I lived these events in my life when I started to try to be very close to Allah from the depth of my heart, not just by speaking or telling or whatever. From the depth of my heart, I sent to Allah the message, oh Allah, I believe and I am trying and I want you to help me to believe that you are the only power in this life. None can give me or take from me, only you. I will just call on you. And I keep on repeating and I keep on trying and I keep on reminding myself, Mona, forget about the human beings. Mona, don't ask any human being. Mona, when you keep on doing this with the intention that I want Allah to know that I am a true believer in His oneness, inshallah, sisters, you will see in your life events and you will see that Allah will answer for you supplications in a way which you never and you can't imagine. But all the time to try to be stronger than your shaitan, who is all the time whispering to you, Allah will not answer, nothing will happen, you will be in the problem all your life. Try to call on the people can help you. This is the whisper of the shaitan. But if you try to forget about this and to focus on your belief and your call on Allah, you are the only one who will help me, O Allah. So I will never leave it. I will keep on, inshallah, in a problem.
Like you give a donation, and inshallah, I will do this donation. And you know, as you're writing the check or online, then you get these thoughts. Oh, you know, I heard something about this. Charity. You know, this charity. Maybe, oh, should I pay them or shouldn't pay them? This is when I know that shaitan is trying to prevent me from. So when I always say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim," and go and do it quickly. Before shaitan, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So, you know, sisters, call on Allah. Call on Allah. Don't stop on calling on Allah. And be sure, inshallah, Allah will save you. So, number one, the true belief that only Allah can solve our problems. Number two, the true trust that Allah will answer your dua. And the true hope that your supplication, inshallah, supplication to Allah is the only way to avert the destiny. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The second, to have your supplication answered, is to have full trust in Allah, that Allah will answer your supplication. Number three, to be patient with Allah regarding answering the supplication. Number four, to use lawful food and drink and clothing. That is to say, to earn halal and to spend the halal so that inshallah Allah will answer your supplication. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And also to follow the commands of Allah, to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also to be always humble to Allah, okay, when you call on Him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. At the end, I want to tell you, sisters, about the manners of supplication. This is very important fact to learn. Manners of supplication. Number one, it should be started with Bismillah. Okay, in the name of Allah, praise to Allah and peace and blessings upon our messenger Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillah, Bismillah, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Number two, it should be performed secretly and with sincere heart. Number three, you should clarify or express your need of Allah from the depth of your heart. Try to repeat your supplication three times at the same calling. So if I call on Allah, for example, for my daughter to pass the test, Oh Allah, I am calling on you so that you help my daughter to pass the test, to help my daughter to pass the test, to help my daughter to pass the test. So you repeat it three times. Number four, to invoke Allah by His names and attributes, and this is very important. When you call on Allah, you say to Him, Oh Allah, you are the Almighty, you are the All-Powerful, you are the Provider, you are the Sustainer, you are the Owner of everything. Oh Allah, I am calling on you because none can help except you. You have the All power to mention the names and attributes of Allah. Number six, supplicate on Allah by mentioning the righteous deeds you have done. Okay, when you call on Allah, after mentioning His name, then you can say, Oh Allah, I went to the masjid and I attended the class for your sake. Oh Allah, I gave that money for your sake. Oh Allah, I helped that person for your sake. So I am calling on you by my righteous deeds so that you help me, inshallah. Number seven, admit your sins during supplication. Also, you mention to Allah, Oh Allah, I am a sinner. I did a lot of things which are not good, but I know that you are the most merciful and you are the one who accept my repentance. Number eight, face the Qibla during your supplication. Try all the time to direct yourself to the Qibla. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you do supplication, make supplication for others, start by calling for you. Okay, especially when you call for something related to repentance or to the paradise. Okay, so always call on Allah saying, Oh Allah, guide me and guide my family. Okay, this is call. When you call on Allah, remember yourself regarding, you know, these issues of guidance. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Remember to include your parents in your supplication all the time. Oh Allah, guide me, my parents, and all the Muslims. At the end, sisters, we must know that supplication is the most beneficial type of healing. And actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we must all the time call on Allah with sincerity and being sure that inshallah Allah will answer our call and let us make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.